Welcome. The Red Rock Ranch has a long storied history. Originally homesteaded around 1894, this jewel of a ranch in the Grosmont Valley is one you need to see to believe. It may be one of the only places on Earth where you'll find red rock cliffs surrounded by dramatic granite peaks. The ranch has always been a quiet place, an escape from busy lives and a loud world. But the McKenzie family has also transformed it to become a place where they share that special vibe with others. And this year's a big one. As of 2024, the Red Rock Ranch has been in the McKenzie family for 50 years. We're here today with Carolyn McKenzie Stimmel, one of the current owners of the Red Rock Ranch. We'll talk over some of her earliest memories of the ranch, including meeting the horses for the first time. We'll also talk about how much, or how little, the ranch has changed over the past 50 years. You're in for a treat today. Carolyn is a delight, has so many wonderful memories, adventures, and vivid descriptions of the Red Rock Ranch. Let's get started. All right, Carolyn, welcome. Thanks for coming, and we're really looking forward to talk about Red Rock Ranch. For people that don't know, where is Red Rock Ranch? Tell us a little bit about how it's sited and what you can expect when they see it for the first time.
Red Rock Ranch is in Teton County, Wyoming. We are east of the Jackson Airport, up in the Grosmont Mountains, Grosmont Range. The journey directly east of the Jackson Airport, you take a regular highway and you go through the teeny tiny town of Kelly, Wyoming, and then you hit the Grosmont Road, and it is 10 more miles of going up and up and up into the mountains. You follow the Grosmont River. The last 5 or 6 miles, I believe, it's a dirt road, secluded. It's isolated, and it's just beautiful. People typically say, wow, this is way prettier than your website or the pictures we saw. You cannot describe this.
That is an accurate description. I have good familiarity with the roads up there. I ripped my bumper off on one of them when I was driving a Honda Prelude. So I have some good experience up on your dirt roads. The Grosmont Range shares a valley with the Teton Range, which is a lot of the reason people come to the area in the first place. Tell me a little bit about how those two mountain ranges differ.
From the Jackson side, you know, the Tetons go from valley floor of 6,200 feet straight up, the Grand being 13,000. So it's very, very dramatic, right? But as you go up to our ranch, up the Grosmont, to the Red Rock Ranch, you're climbing up, and the snow-covered peaks are the valley we sit in, the Crystal Creek Valley, looks south to the Grosmont or to the mountain range, which is the Grosmonts, and we look right at Sheep Mountain, and that typically has snow on it year round. We are literally the only people, inhabitants, the Red Rock Ranch in this valley. We climb up, and boy, there they are. They're the Tetons. Uniquely, what we have is it's pretty quiet back up in there. Yes, there's other, you know, people hiking and trail riding, but we typically don't see people. Now, for better or for worse, like, we don't have cell service. We do have adequate. Okay. What we have found of late is people really like to come to the ranch. It's beautiful. And their kids aren't on their devices. Now, if the parents want to share the password with the kid, they can. But typically, the kid is already off on a bike. We have a fleet of bikes for adults and children, and they are zooming around. And what we really have is freedom and away from the hustle and bustle of the national park and the town of Jackson.
Awesome. I really love that answer. And I love the thought of just being away from technology. You said for better or worse, in my mind, it's 100% better. Let's go back to the kind of the history of the McKenzie family with the ranch. Tell me about your parents finding the ranch and kind of how it became the McKenzie family ranch versus what it had been before.
So in 1970, my parents, David and Deborah McKenzie from Lake Forest, Illinois, took my older brother, my sister, and myself to a dude ranch in Kelly, Wyoming, named the Elbow Ranch, which is now Teton Science School. And for 3 years, we went to the Elbow Ranch, and it was just the best experience of my life. I loved it. It was August. We went for 2 weeks, which, you know, I didn't realize that's not normal today. So the owner of Elbow Ranch passed away, and my dad and mom, you know, honestly, I don't know why they decided to go look for a ranch to recreate what they wanted to own a ranch and build a ranch. And of course, they could have, there were plenty of ranches we could have gone to. Whitegrass Ranch, we had friends that went there. But there was something they saw or did or felt at Elbow that they wanted to recreate. So they started looking around in the summer of 1973. They had looked in Colorado and Montana. And my dad saw an advertisement in the Wall Street Journal for the Red Rock Ranch. He contacted Colonel Mosley, who owned it at the time, or his realtor. And by February of 74, he had purchased the ranch. And it was a private cattle ranch and no infrastructure as far as cabins, no commercial kitchen. It was private and small. So they had this vision, and Colonel Mosley loved their vision. And he had had a few people come by and want to buy the ranch or make offers. But they went out to California and they showed him the pictures of the kids. And they said, this is what we're doing. This is our vision. And he loved that. And my parents carried that on, that love for the land and appreciate it. And people come and see it and stay there. And that's really where we're still at today, 50 years later.
So before the McKenzies came along, there was no guest ranch experience at Red Rock. It was just completely a working ranch.
It was a working ranch. That is correct. There was a lodge, a guest room, a manager's cabin, and a few other structures. But everything else was purchased. The cabins were the Utopia Lodge, which was a establishment in town. I believe it's where the Wirt Hotel parking lot is right now, if my research is right. And these cabins were circa 1920. You would recognize a very simple log building. Some were double, most of the two were single. One came in with three bedrooms, and then one was too big. It rustled hill. They had to back it back down. It couldn't make it. But once they got the cabins up to the ranch, I can remember my mom standing there, and they created, it's like a horseshoe of the cabins that you get your own cabin, a lot of work for foundation, and then adding on to them because there was no like living area. There was just bedrooms. So a lot of work. And then finally by 1976, they were open for business.
So how old were you at this point?
9.
What are your memories of that period? I assume they had to cart the cabins in and haul them up that long dirt road. What do you remember about that?
Well, I wasn't there for that, but my very, very first experience of the ranch was in 1974. It was Memorial Day weekend. I remember my parents saying, okay, we're going to pick you up early today and we're going to go to Wyoming. And I'm thinking, whoa, this is great. You know, it's Thursday and here we go. So we flew out to Jackson and we got to the ranch and they were pouring, guys were had a backhoe and a cement truck and they were pouring the foundation next to the barn, which is the saddle room. And I just remember, you know, seeing all this concrete and it was really noisy. It was really, really muddy. It was really cold, kind of a rainy gray afternoon. And there was all these horses in the pen, like 75 horses. And I loved horses and I just couldn't believe there were that many horses. That was first memory of Red Rock.
My family owns a cattle ranch actually. And so my kids, I know, they go and they pick out their cow. They name it. It's their pet cow as long as we have it. Was that kind of your mentality with those horses?
Absolutely. I mean, I just couldn't wait to brush them, ride them, see them. And I mean, mind you, I'm 9 years old. I'm not that experienced, but I absolutely just couldn't believe it and wanted to know them. It was kind of wild, as you can imagine. There was a lot of crazies and situations.
Bringing in guests, do you see that same little girl coming in? You kind of find yourself reliving that childhood.
Absolutely. These little kids, they come and they're just so excited. Earlier, we talked about the bicycles, and that's something that is so amazing, especially we saw this post-COVID. Kids coming to the ranch, I mean, mind you, we asked the parents, keep your eye on your child, you know, if it's, you know, in between dinners or whatever, but the freedom they get, and they just love to explore. They love to throw rocks in the irrigation ditch or float little sticks down. They love to, like I said, jump on these bicycles. They zip down to the barn, and we have a rule, you can't ride your bike in the barnyard. So they park on the outside and they run over to the whiteboard, because we'll have your name listed and which horse you're riding. And yeah, they can't wait to meet their horse, and they start asking you all these questions. And, you know, can I give him a carrot? And, you know, where is Roller? I want to go meet Roller. What's Roller like? And it's just so cute. Another really fun thing that has not changed is when you're out on the trail, kids love to find bones. So you'll have a winter kill of an elk or a antelope or whatever situation's going on. And you ride up and they want you to get off and put all these bones in their saddlebags and bring them home. And they show their mom and dad, and they go over them on the porch. And later that evening at dinner, the mom might say, what the heck? How am I supposed to take these home? And I'm like, well, if you don't want to take them home, you can just throw them behind your cabin. This one cabin, the bigger cabin, I guess it's because it has more families, definitely has a little boneyard back there. Many a parent doesn't want to go home with their child's bone. I think that's really, really telling how kids and curiosity, that's not going to change. A lot has changed since I've been a kid, obviously, but that has not changed.
Okay, so I really love the whole concept of freedom. Freedom is literally my number one value. So hearing you talk about that freedom just speaks to me. What does that do for the adults that are coming to the ranch?
Well, the adults, typically, one has made the reservation. One really wants to go. If this is a brand new family, say the Wilcox family's coming, and you kind of know this, but maybe your wife doesn't. And it actually makes a bigger impression upon her, because she has no idea what it's like to ride out your gate and to be in the second largest national forest in the lower 48. Bridger Teton National Forest is enormous. And to see antelope, elk, coyote, bald eagle, peregrine falcon, you know, whatever it is you're going to see, or go fishing on the river and catch a wild native cutthroat trout, that experience is huge. And a lot of people, they underestimate that. They don't expect that. The weeks that individual families that don't know each other but come for the same purpose for a family vacation, the way that kids get along is really cool. They just gel. They do things together. It's just really fun. I mean, we have a really neat teepee set up. Nothing fancy, just a painted teepee, nothing in it. But the kids love to go meet there. That's like their little clubhouse, so to speak. It's in this horseshoe area where the cabins are. And kids just, it's just an incredible experience for adults. It's kind of like they're at an adult camp, but they don't expect that. They expect we're going to be doing our little vacation over here, and there might be another family. But everybody just, like, we sit around the campfire and sing songs, or we play pickleball, or, you know, whatever the activity is, that people, they end up enjoying themselves way more than they realize.
That sounds amazing and very accurate to how I understand the area and just the sense of freedom. This has been in your family now for, my goodness, 50 years. So with it being in the family that long, how have you seen the ranch change in that time and evolve? And what are some of the challenges you guys faced in turning into a dude ranch from a working ranch?
Well, for 12 years, we were both ranches. We were a commercial cattle ranch with a permit in the Upper Grosbeck and a growing dude ranch. And as challenges faced my dad more and more with the cattle and wintering them and feeding them, he decided to, well, he came to me and asked me, he said, do you want to run the cattle part of this business? And we had a young family. We lived in Texas, and that winter business was actually in Shoshone, Wyoming. And I graciously thanked him, but I said, no, I don't really think that's going to work for us, but thank you. So he sold that, and we really concentrated, like mid-90s, they really grew it into an incredible dude ranch. Lots has changed, how the stays, the families, but what hasn't changed is people coming to a beautiful part of the West and enjoying each other's company, and us showing them what a working ranch and a dude ranch looks like. We still put up hay. Dad, another thing he was really big on was the fishing. And mind you, my dad was a businessman from Chicago, and he why he wanted this ranch was what we discussed earlier, and yet the fishing was his love. And he had done some stream restorations in the 2000s, two different phases, early 2000s. And that really enhanced the Crystal Creek. And you have to have incredible amount of permission and permits, and you just don't start doing that, because the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act really held him accountable, which was good. But we really have some fabulous fishing. Even people that really know how to fish are surprised how good it is. They obviously love it.
Mm-hmm. So in reading up on the history of the ranch, there has been, I think, five different owners, if you count yourself, more or less. And from what I can tell, this is the first time in the McKenzie family that it's become kind of a generational ranch. How has family played a part in making and shaping the Red Rock Ranch as it is now?
Well, in 2017, my father passed away, and my mother had died in 2012. So he had been preparing myself and Harley for the transition of the ranch. And yet he did a great job. However, there were still lots of things we just didn't know. And of course, we're not relying on him. And yet we had a couple of bumpy first years. I mean, business as usual is a hard concept, because it's my husband and I, and takes longer to make a decision because there's two of us. And then bam, COVID comes and we really fall on our face. Typically don't do three night stays. And then during COVID, we stayed open, but it was really difficult. We were doing three night stays. We were just trying to make it work, but we cut down our numbers. And meanwhile, our kids all grew up. We have four boys, and they all grew up coming out to Wyoming and working the ranch, whatever capacity they did and saw. And then they went on in their early 20s, late teens, early 20s. They went out on and started doing their own careers or their own summer jobs. And I did the same thing. I mean, I just said, go. You know, if you're going to be here, work. And if you're not, don't. You know, go. But then you have our blessings. But since 2022, they've all come back and they're all working in the ranch. My husband's the GM, and he does an amazing job. We wear many, many hats. But the most difficult hat is to take off your parent hat and put on your business hat. And yet we include them. We're expanding. We're open past our regular season ends at the end of September. Families go back to school, or kids go back to school. Families leave. But we have events now. Two of our sons that are there on the ranch are really working towards this. They see that as an opportunity. Our son Jake, who lives there, they're welcoming a snow machine tour company, and they're going to fix them hot lunch. That's a new avenue for a winter business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun to have your kids come to you and say, you know, this is what we want to do. I mean, that's always the fun part, the idea part, but then implementing it into a business plan and moving forward. And as you know, those conditions up there are horrific in the winter. You're isolated, you're snowed in. And yet they want and see needs. So we're very excited to carry, you know, expand the ranch to go further than what just a summer business is.
Yeah. So that, what, like 10 miles on a snowmobile before you can even touch a car?
Well, this winter, the road's still open.
So far. That's probably got to change.
You're right.
Now, one of the things that I hear a lot about with guest ranch guests is they go in and they almost feel like part of the family when they show up, and they're with this tight-knit family, and everyone else just kind of becomes an extended part of that family. How would you say that dynamic works at Red Rock?
Very well. We can have up to 35 people, and that's a lot of people to get to know from Sunday night to Saturday morning. But the more you interact with them, whether it's the meal or on a trail ride or a hike or however you encounter them and interact with them, that even makes their experience more genuine. And I absolutely love when, for instance, I don't typically go on the guided hikes. Stephen does that. So the guests will come back and maybe they're not really keen on riding, or maybe we just haven't ridden together. Wednesday morning, we have a breakfast ride. And that's a really fun way to just sit down and eat and talk to people. And people will tell me, oh, I've just so enjoyed doing this activity or meeting this family member, or I experienced this. And there's enough of us that, yeah, we get the touch point on one of us individually across. And we make a point that they get to know us. It might be a quick moment or it might be an all-day ride or something, but we find that very important. We enjoy it too. In fact, we get sad. We spent all this time, we get to know you, and now you got to leave. And you're sort of sad, oh, you know, we don't want the guests to leave. And then you experience the same thing again the following week. So it's really an interesting process for us too.
Growing up in that atmosphere with people coming and going all the time, I would imagine you develop a different social acumen than most people have.
Yeah, some of us are stronger in aspects than others. And yet, for instance, one of the boys is really quiet. And some people really enjoy that about him, though. They enjoy going out and just, whether they're riding or whatever they're doing, and it's just quiet. And some people really like to talk, obviously, and interact. And we've got that person, too, in the family. So it's just really, it's just interesting how, and you don't force these things. They just happen organically. And it does make a big impression on people, though, and us, for sure.
That's so fun. I grew up in a family business as well, so I can kind of see how all the roles fit together and personalities. It's just kind of fun hearing about it. Let's go back. At what time did you become really involved with the ranch from a working perspective versus just that little girl that shows up and is crazy about horses? When did that transition kind of occur for you?
Well, it really started at 13. That was my first job.
13. I love
it. Well, you know, typical ranch. I mean, if you can do something, they're going to figure it out and get you to help for the greater good. My first job was, I was a cook. We did pack trips back in the early days. I didn't know how to cook, but I was told what to do and how to do it. I could catch horses and saddle. And I'll never forget, we drove up to Upper Grobot and then made a big loop and ended up at the ranch, a 3-day pack trip. And at the time, the manager, Ken Neal, said to me, now just follow. You're going to drive the Suburban and follow. And I was like, okay. And there was a little 2-horse trailer. Are you kidding? A kid from Chicago? Like, none of my friends were that. I thought I was so... My sister also did that too. So that was really fun. And then I grew, you know, I became a wrangler and went through the stages of working at the ranch. And then I went to town, got a job in town. So I didn't, you know, there was a couple of years I didn't work the ranch. But in 1985, Marley and I got married. I said, well, before we said our vows, you knew this, but I said, you know, I do go to Wyoming every summer. Like, that's just part of the deal here. He was working and he said, oh, yeah, I think that's great. So we got married in Chicago. We came back to the ranch, did our honeymoon in the Upper Grobot. Snowed. It was so cold. So funny. But anyways, I'm kind of rambling, but I always had a role. And when the kids were little, it was hard because it's just hard to work. But raising our kids up was such an honor. But it really probably wasn't until 15 or so years ago, my parents really said, look, they didn't really know what the future of Red Rock. And they sat us down and they said, would you be interested? How would it look for you? How would you like to run it? So they got us more involved. We just started. I remember one summer I was office help, which that's not my deal, but you know, it's good to answer the phone and it's good to be around and, you know what's going on. But I worked at many of the aspects of the ranch and, you know, there's more glamorous jobs than others, but you better know how to do everything or at least jump in there and help people do stuff, because there's a side to broken pipes and sewers and all that that needs to be done, or unloading hay or whatever the situation is.
So let's go back. What age were you when you started like leading rides? That happened as a teenager, didn't it?
Yeah. So at 13, we learned as organized. I mean, it's still growing. And so Ken Deal, though, he was good. He got us on a program. You know, we would do like an all day ride, and it is different now. We do a lot more team building, so to speak. We show people the trails, and CPR. And back then we just did it. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, take them to Grizzly Lake, be safe and be home by 5. Yes, sir. And often as you grow and you learn and safety, we're really big on safety at Red Rock. And anyways, it's.
So at age 13, if you're leading that pack of guests out, going up to Grizzly Lake, and I've been there, I've swam in Grizzly, so I know the area. I actually had to go back there the next day because I left my camera there the last time I went. So I went there twice in the 24-hour period. And that's not easy to get up there. It's not. And so I imagine me as an adult following a 13-year-old girl into the woods, and that being kind of a foreign experience all around. Is that something that's hard for some of the guests, or was it just natural?
Well, we were very small, and these were friends of the family for the first couple of years. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying, it was a little more insular that way. But I don't know, people always have questions, and if you can look them in the eye and answer it, and give them confidence, and I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though. But on the pack trips, Ken was always with us. I mean, we were the gopher, but 13-year-old packing all the food and the supplies, I had no idea how to do that. But you let her. You just did it.
Yeah. No, I have a 13-year-old girl right now, so it kind of resonates where you're at that point. So it's really fun for me just imagining that happening and seeing you as an authority figure. At that age, I love the whole thought of that. There's got to be a lot of leaders that come through the ranch, a lot of successful careers and things along those lines. How does that dynamic work with those people suddenly following instead of leading?
You mean leaders as guests?
Yes, leaders as guests.
Yeah. We bring my husband Harley in for people like that. He can really, well, first of all, so we all do a group orientation. You know, people have really good questions and concerns. We got to really make sure you understand. We're verbally telling you, physically showing you with the horse right here. But you know as well as I do, until you get on that horse and experience an incline or a decline, you have no idea what you're about to get yourself into. People that are strong and opinionated, for instance, we really get pushed on the galloping. People want to gallop. Well, we're in the mountains and we have badger holes and chisel holes. We really don't have loping terrain. If you help somebody understand that and you show them the why, that helps. But yeah, we've had some amazing people come through the ranch. Dignitaries to, you know, executives, producers, whatever. But we'd rather not know who you are. And a lot of people don't. They're flying under the radar and they just want to be there. They just want to be checking it out, having a good time and having their family meet other families. But yeah, it can be challenging. Sunday night's tough because people have traveled and maybe this wasn't exactly what they wanted, or maybe the road was just that experience thus far. But by Wednesday, they can't believe it's already Wednesday. So they go through an emotional roller coaster too. And it's really good for us, my husband and I, to go travel somewhere and get delayed. Of course, we don't like that, but we understand that's part of travel in the airline industry, or losing your bag, or the weather delays. So we really work with people and we try to be real with them because it's not easy.
Right. You said something a little while ago that people come and are often flying under the radar. I kind of feel like that's indicative of a lot of the people that come to Jackson Hole. They're trying to escape their, I would say, local infamy, or even their identity a little bit to come to the ranch, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's really fun when people come back. And sometimes, like, if I see your name on paper, the Wilcox family coming back, I might not remember your name on that paper, but the moment I see you, I'll say, oh my gosh, remember that ride we took, Mark? It's so easy. We connected. And we just start right back. And people appreciate the fact that we, you know, we're not making a big to-do. I mean, a big to-do at our ranch is, oh, it's your daughter's birthday. Let's make sure we let the kitchen know to get her a cake, or, you know, you're celebrating your anniversary. But yeah, people want to have low profile, and we want to honor that. One thing we used to do is, so this sheet of paper that comes out for the following week, and it'll have your family name on it, and it'll have your hometown. And we used to put down how many years you've been coming to the ranch. And then it got really kind of sticky, so we decided we'd take that off. That's silly, but we know we're not for everybody, because we are remote, and that's, if you really want the town experience, you might want to find a ranch closer to town. And I'm not trying to undermine our ranch by any means, but you have to, it's, you're not roughing it at the ranch, but you're so out of your natural environment that you have to be willing to go towards this. And it doesn't take much. Most people have not a problem with this.
Mm-hmm. I love that whole idea of transformation that can occur. Tell me about someone who has just kind of had a life-changing experience at the ranch. What's that look like when those people come expecting one thing and walk away with something completely else?
Well, one particular family comes to mind, and they, wonderful doctor, they're from the Midwest, two daughters, very gracious wife, just 3-4 years, they keep coming back, and you know, you're just, every time you're just building more and more rapport with them. The oldest daughter, it was asked, could she come and work? And you know, mind you, she's still in high school. Could she work a week, and then we'll come the following week? And we had to really consider these things, and yet we knew her. And you know, long story short, we called it the WIT program, the Wrangler in Training. And so she did. Sometimes these kids will stay with us, or they'll stay with one of the staffers. So she came back last summer as a Wrangler. Everything was legit. And I asked her, I said, we've known him a long time, and I've taught her a lot of riding, and now she's a kids Wrangler. And I asked her, I said, well, how was your first year at college? And she said, no, I just graduated from high school, and I'm going to said college in the fall, an Ivy League college. Oh my gosh, this girl is a huge package, you know, and I don't really know her, but it was just really neat. And her dad is a very, very gracious man. He's an oncologist, and he's all about healing. And he just said, they said to us, you just don't know what you've done for our daughter. It has changed her, completely changed her life. Just coming there, you know, with a little girl at a ranch.
That is so cool. Tell me a great experience you personally had. How about an adventure?
I am an adventure. So it's early spring. The Crystal Creek is just roaring. And we're going to go up to East Minor. We're not going to go all the way to Grizzly Lake, but we're going to go up there and cook hot lunch. The river is behind the barn. It is really fast. So the guests go further down. Actually, I think we rode them out to the bridge, the Crystal Creek Bridge, and then took them up. Very safe. But myself, our son Russell, who's on a pony, he's probably 9 years old, a Wrangler and the GM and myself at the time, we're going to take the quick route and go on over there. And we get in the river, and it man, it's just, it is roaring.
Oh, that's a class four rapid.
The GM, he's in front, a Wrangler's in front of me. There's Carolyn, and then I'm leading, poning Russell on his pony, which obviously he is now getting drenched. We're managing, but the Wrangler in front of me, her lead rope becomes untied. And as it goes down and the horse steps down with her right, with the right front, it pulls her head down. So now the horse's head is underwater. The horse starts bucking. This young lady gets bucked off in the river. I turned back to Russell and I said, "Kick macaroni, you're fine." And I jump off and go get this girl. And the same thing could have happened to Russell and his lead rope, but I threw the lead rope so it went around his horse's neck just halfway. But anyway, and this girl, she's from Texas, and she had a new hat on, and I loved her hat. It was such a cute hat. There it goes floating down the river. I just grabbed her and slammed her against the bank. And you know what, at this point, everything's happening so fast, you don't realize how doggone cold that water is. And I just, and I knew her parents, and she's young, and oh, I just thought, man, no, not, this is not happening. She is not going to have a problem here because we are going to be fine. Then we were fine. And of course, she's so embarrassed, and I'm mad because she lost her hat. And I said, let's go find your hat. Russell's now on the other side and he's crying. I'm like, you're fine though, Russell. Like, we're soaking wet. And actually, he was really wet too. We ended up going to Hot Lunch in East Minor. It was so cute. They built a nice fire and, you know, we had a chilly lunch. Candy and I took off our clothes and they dried them for us. We kind of hid behind some slickers over here. They dried our clothes for us and they were steaming. And anyways, it was just a heck of a moment. And as you know, I mean, things like that can change really quickly. And you just got to keep your head on and you got to think. And by the grace of God, we were fine. And I don't underestimate that. Wow, that was quite an experience that I hope never to experience again. But are you kidding? I look at that river crossing. I can't see. I don't cross there.
I understand that. How about, what's the wildlife experience like? What are some memorable encounters you've had over the years?
We have it all, and we see it all, and we hear it all. Now, it depends on what time of year it is, but the elk feeding grounds is just above us. But they've dismantled that now. So anyways, elk are coming through constantly. In the summer, late spring, summer, antelope are just so prevalent. Unfortunately, this past year, there was a big die-off further south of us, you know, more towards Pinedale, like half a dozen to a dozen antelope, but typically we'll have like 75. And it's a big thrill, obviously, to see an antelope running. Lots of mule deer, you'll see those going up on rides up in the timber. People hear coyotes at night, obviously, and wolf and bear tracks. We see more than we see them encounter them, which honestly is a better way to see a wolf or a bear in our neck of the woods. And then moose are way more prevalent than they were, which is great.
People love
moose. And then the bighorn sheep, you know, you're just lucky to see those, but they're there. You just got to really look for them.
Yeah. So tell me about how people react to seeing this wildlife for the first time.
Well, yes, it's a big deal. And they get very excited. You know, they can't believe it. Just east of the ranch, when we, like, we'll take an orientation ride, and there's sort of these little rolly open hills, exposed hills. And when you do see an antelope, they'll be up in there, and they, you know, they run away, and they turn around, and they snort. Make a really sharp snort is all I know. And people just can't believe that. They just can't believe that. And one thing Harley does really well as the GM, he reminds the staff, yes, that might be the 10th week that you saw that same antelope do that, but that's their first experience. share their joy, take that moment and experience it with them. And it's true. It makes a huge impression. The bald eagle, we have a nesting pair on the west bank of the Crystal Creek. And they're amazing. I call it flight lessons. When the fledglings are learning to fly, one parent goes downstream and one goes upstream, and they're on a fence post, and they literally just scream at their fledgling, come here, come here. You can't miss it. I mean, you hear it, and then you start figuring out people, they can't get enough of that. I mean, that could be their whole afternoon ride. Let's go hear the eagles again. Okay.
That's so fun. I can kind of understand that whole mentality of trying to keep it fresh for the guests, because I grew up across from the street from the National Elk Refuge. So 10,000 head elk is normal for me. But then I see people pull into my driveway all the time just to look at the elk and just marvel and sitting there with a spotting scope and a camera. It's a totally different game for people coming from cities, for people that haven't been to the West. Tell me a little bit about Harley. I know he came out of a professional polo career before ranch life.
Harley was raised in Midland, Texas, and his mother is an amazing horsewoman. She's still with us at 94, Marcy. And she had a huge influence on him. She was raised on a ranch in California, in Southern California. So Harley grew up knowing ranching, livestock, and horses. He's a very quiet person. He's a very heavy, deep thinker. He'd have trouble answering questions fast on something like what we're doing, because he's articulate. He's very, very thoughtful and caring, and people love to work for him. He's a great team leader. He takes our hiring process very, very seriously. And as we start building the team, you know, then he starts really putting together personalities, and he's just really intelligent is what I like to call Barley. And he loves his family, and he just, the days that he's doing a lot of desk work or paperwork, he'll say, I've had it, and he'll go join a ride or get a horse, and that's his release for sure.
Uh-huh. So how did his polo experience kind of translate to ranch work?
Oh, it was, my dad knew what he was doing. It was such a given, because being a professional polo player, he managed beyond just the horses. He managed every daily issue of feed and shoeing and coordinating transportation and, you know, the logistics of putting a team together. He did a lot. And it was easy for him to come to Red Rock and be the head wrangler. And it was really fun, too, because the boys, they were old enough to go on, you know, some of the rides, and they would join him. It was really fun. He was a great head wrangler, for sure.
So you said something in our pre-interview. You said, we're in the business of helping people go beyond the trail. What do you mean by that, and how does that come to pass at the ranch?
Well, sometimes people call us up and they'll say, are you just a head-to-tail trail riding place? And yes, I mean, on our trail rides, we ride single-file horses head-to-tail. We can curtail rides. We can make them more advanced, easier. Sometimes we have 80-year-old people that still want to ride. We have a broad spectrum. But we also have a program called Top Hand. And you can learn and experience things in this program that we call Beyond the Trail. And since that has grown, and we like to say your fishing experience is more than just riding or the hiking, obviously. But we want to keep it, we don't want to get too many activities going. And my parents never wanted to be a resort. That was never their intention. My parents loved to play golf, but they never wanted to have a golf or a tennis court. But you won't believe this. In 1983, my dad set in a pickleball court.
83. Like, that's ahead of the coach.
Right. Who knew that? And that was their compromise. is, you know, well, it's not tennis, but we don't want to be a country club. And he had heard about it. He'd taken a golfing trip to Pacific Northwest and heard about it. And of course, you know, we know what it is today. People can't believe it. You know, pickleball. But what a great family sport. Oh, and I haven't told you about square dancing. So,
oh, yeah.
Do you know Gene and Maggie Bauer?
No, I don't.
They've been in the Valley. They're winter or summer residents, but they've been in Jackson for years. And they've been coming and calling at Red Rock. I think we'll be on our 36th year coming up in 2024. And every Wednesday night, we have a square dance. We do it out in a gazebo outside, if the weather permits. And if not, we'll do it indoors. But it is one of those activities. People, they're a little bit slow to get going. Wednesday night's a family dinner. Okay, come on, everybody, let's go out to the gazebo. We're going to square dance. Square dance, I did that. PE. And they do it, and they have the biggest smile on their face. And they said, did not see that coming. Did not enjoy that. And you can take elderly people and very young people experiencing something incredibly fun, wholesome. It's a really neat thing we do. Tradition.
Yeah. Going to go into a quick lightning round. What's your favorite trail ride?
Red Cliffs, east of the ranch.
Okay. What's that ride like? Where do you go and kind of what do you experience?
There's an incredible open-faced red bluff literally right above the ranch. And it's not a very difficult ride, and you can gain that elevation immediately. We go up around, and so when you bust out of the timber in the aspen grove, boom, there's Sheep Mountain. To the west is the Teton. And I love to say to the people, the guests behind, I'll say, yeah, Julie Andrews is, she was just right here. You just missed her. It looks like the Sound of Music scene. It's just amazing. You don't have to experience a huge ride to get there.
Mm-hmm. You just sold me. I'm going to have to take my family up there this summer and
help out
views. I mean, I've always looked at that view from down below and just gone, man, that's beautiful, but never tried to go up on top. So
do it.
All right. Favorite meal at the ranch?
Well, I'm a little torn between the Sunday night welcome bar. It's just huge spread and you're meeting everybody. And everybody's new. It's our first meal together. The weather's right. We sit outside and we're all in our Red Rock shirts. I don't know. It's just a really great scene and it's a great meal. But right up there too is our breakfast ride. Breakfast. That would be Wednesday morning. I don't know what they do to the bacon, but it is off the charts. And it's awesome. Beautiful and it's cold and, you know, you get there and the fire and the coffee tastes so good. You know, it's just cowboy coffee. Nothing special. No, it's just a great morning.
Okay. I don't know why this one's popping into my head, but a time that the rain made a ride better.
We were coming back from a longer ride than the Red Bluff ride. But anyways, we had radios and we were very cognizant of weather storms, and the headquarters will radio and where are you? Where's your ride? Or we'll radio in if we're on the ride saying, you know, it looks really bad. Anyway, so we'd gotten a report that from the south coming over Sheep Mountain was a big sell. I mean, obviously somebody in the office is on the computer and they're seeing it. And as we're coming in, really windy, and it's not looking good. I mean, it's just like, oh, we're close to the ranch. You can feel the horses picking up the pace. And this storm just blew by us. It didn't hardly rain, but we had a lot of wind. And it holds your hat on, and you're thinking really bad, like, oh, let's just get out of this. Let's get everybody home. Let's keep them safe. And it blew by us, and at the north end of the valley is a double rainbow. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. Like, you just have to stop and appreciate it and look at it. Because we just thought we were going to be in the worst storm ever, and we obviously weren't. But that can be tricky too.
That's so fun. How about a favorite horse that guests have loved over the years?
My mom had a personal horse. He's a great horse. His name is Red Rock. And very few horses could live up to having that name. And she's passed away. I really struggled with, he's way overqualified for a dude horse. And we use him, and he's morphed into a, but I still call him the VIP horse. Of course, the wranglers will relay that to the guests. And talking at the saloon, I'll say, oh, who did you ride today? And, oh, I got to ride Red Rock. You know, he's the VIP horse. I was like, yes. And we all use him every week. And we just, you know, we really take care of him. And of course, he reminds me of my mom. And I'm just glad that something that she really enjoyed still lives on. I even saw to it that we got some tail hair of his, and we made sure she was buried with it, because she just did that horse. And I loved that she loved that horse. So, yeah.
That's so great. Favorite full family memory at the ranch?
Oh, what pops into my mind, this is again, that has to do with my mom. So she had passed in the spring of 2012. And our boys were at that age where some were working different, not at Red Rock. And we were they were older and they're doing their thing. And we all looked at each other at her service, and we said, let's all get together this summer and do a pack trip. So we did. And I said, guess what? You guys are so lucky. I used to be a cook. I can be your cook. So fun. We had a friend who had a camp up Jack Creek, and we camped there. And then as a family, we hiked Crystal Peak. And that's quite an endeavor. Some of the family members weren't as excited as the other, but we all get up there, and it's just one of those peaceful, quiet times on the top of a mountain. And we're all just laying in the sun, like reptiles getting warm. And it was just really amazing to have done that as a family on this peak, you know, that you can see from the ranch, but it's a heck of a hike. So anyways, that was really very meaningful.
Awesome. How about favorite memory with a guest?
So what pops in my mind on that one is there's a lady who lives in Colorado, and she's very good friends with my brother and his wife. Long story short, she had been to the ranch, and now they came back just this past summer, did a really quick stay. And she had raised a horse that we had bought, and she and I went out on this ride, and she got to ride Leo, the horse that she had raised in Colorado. He's a big, strong horse. And we went way up and did the Red Bluffs, and I'm sort of coming back. Oh my word, the wind, here it comes, you know, this storm. And yet he was so composed and so good. This lady, she works for the UN, and it was just amazing I had no idea really what she did, and, you know, where her life goes, and, you know, what she does for 3 months out of the year. And anyway, she just really filled my heart with so much pride and joy. And she just, what she does. And here we are out on a ride. I thought I'd make her happy to ride her horse, and here she's making me so happy. And that was just so unexpected and so nice.
It's great to be in a business where doing your job fills you up, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's just, yes, it's an honor. Just look.
All right. I think we've kind of taken this where I want it to go. Really appreciate your time today. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you would like to hit? Anything that we missed that you think people should hear about?
Yeah. The land conservation was a big deal. So my mom helped start or she was on the original board for Wyoming and Montana. It's not national parks. That's the word escaping me. Anyways, now Wyoming has its own chapter of land preservation. Why can't I think of that? Anyways, so she really wanted my parents, surely their, to them, their legacy was to preserve Red Rock. So they put all but the home place headquarters into conservation easements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come with challenges too, because I can remember my dad say, we're the last part, the south part was the last piece to go into an easement. And he's like, is there anything you want to change on this? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we're writing basically the laws of how this piece of property is going to be governed. And if you want to, if you do think you want to build a house there, or you do want to do this or that, let's talk about it. And I didn't quite grasp it at the time, but now I understand. And as you know, our county is so precious and small, and private land is not readily available, and the pricing, and I mean, it's just insane. And yet, they didn't sell out, and they really wanted to preserve Red Rock. That really speaks to us when we do make decisions and move forward. And it's our ranch going forward. I'm not trying to do it just as they would, but boy, did they instill that in us. For instance, like, we don't want to exploit part of it, or I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling, but they really wanted to us, Harley and I and our family, to understand how precious the land is.
So I think what you're trying to get at here is that the ranch, as it stands, is going to stand that way for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
The way people experience it now, they will continue to experience it in the future.
Yes. Yes. We want them to look at that view and have their jaw drop and say, wow, I had no idea. No idea.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much, Carolyn. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I liked it. You made it easy. Thanks for personalizing it, Mark, because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I love Mary Lynn, and I don't ever doubt her. So two things. It's the Wyoming Nature Conservancy. That's what I couldn't think of is what I'm about to start. And then, let us know when you're up there. We'd love to see you and bring your family up, and don't be a stranger.
Yeah, we'll make it a point to drop in there, hopefully this summer. We make it up at least a couple of times in the every summer, so.
Good deal. No, seriously, let us know. We'd love to meet you in person, and I enjoy it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. It's been absolutely fun talking to you.
Likewise, I enjoyed it too. Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.